Well, we're coming to the end of the book of 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3. We have just a couple of verses that I'd like to really focus upon today, and the subject of growth. Spiritual growth is certainly the focus all through Peter's books. And so if you'll turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, look, if you will, with me to verse 17 to the end of the chapter. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 to the end of the chapter. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Let's bow before the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you that you have given to us the great privilege of service and studying your word. May our hearts rejoice in you as we look to the word and as we're completing the study of this book. Father, it has been good to see Peter's words to us before you called him home. The encouragement to understand Scripture and the value of Scripture. The encouragement to see the value of truth and the need to build our lives on Christ. May we look to the subject of growth in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ to look for what you have for us this day. May we rejoice as you teach us to grow in grace, be discipled, and disciple others. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, this book of 2 Peter has been a great study, I think, for me. I've learned an awful lot. And we went through 1 Peter a while back. It's been now, I think, over a year, about a year and a half, maybe, since we started 2 Peter. And we kind of put in the middle of it last summer our study of the great Bible stories every kid should know. Remember, as we did through the summer, we did the 10 plagues and what God was doing in releasing the children of Israel. And yet, in this study, we've been able to see God's work. 1 Peter talked about growth, didn't it? We'll look at a couple of those verses in a minute. 2 Peter, as we came to this book, the first few verses, look at the soaring words of the fisherman in chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you'll be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he is cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you may say, Pastor, why are you reading that again? We've been through this passage. Well, when you see what he says in those first few verses, you understand what he's saying in verses 17 and 18 of chapter 3. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's not just giving us throwaway words. He's not just giving us words that are words to fill this chapter. He's giving us words that have great meaning. And I want to paint a word picture for you today to give you a sense of what I think he's talking about and encourage you as you go into your next week, this coming week. Who knows what God's appointing for you? Who knows what God's plan is? But there are ways that God intends for you to grow in grace and not to fall. When he started this first book, we find these words in chapter 1 of 1 Peter, verses 22 to the end of that chapter. Let me go back a couple of verses to teach you or to fill it in a little bit. Verse 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have been purified, have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass. All the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls away, and the word, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Growth starts with a seed planted. The seed planted needs to be nourished. It needs to continue to grow. Chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. It's interesting that Peter starts his first book with his concept of growth. He ends his second book with a concept of growth too. Growth in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. He's got a fear in verse 17 of chapter 3. You therefore, and when he does this, our English text picks up the emphasis. You therefore is emphatic. He's talking to you and I individually. He's talking to me personally. He's talking to you personally. You therefore, it's very pointed. And in a sense, you can almost see Peter pointing his finger at you. You therefore, pointing at me. You therefore, we who are the readers of this book, therefore, beloved, since you knew this, know this beforehand, you have foreknowledge of these things that we've learned about throughout these two books. You know that there are going to be people who are fast and loose with the truth. You know that there are people who are on their way to destruction. You know that this world is not going to last forever. You know that what you see apart from people around you will be ending, and it has no significance eternally unless it's for souls and for the future, for the work of God and for his purpose. Knowing this beforehand, beware, be on guard, set a guard about your life. You know, when you think in terms of cities that were taken in stealth, it was because they weren't ready for the enemy to appear. They didn't think they had to be on their guard. But when you place a guard, you establish the watch, you establish the plan, and you have certain things that you must do in order to be aware when the enemy is trying to come against you unawares. You set a guard. And so in some cities, they'd have their people around the wall. So they would have watchmen. They would have people ready to raise the alarm. And you can think in terms of our colonial days with the forts, and the way that they would try to have the places to stop the enemy from advancing, and the picket lines that would be around the soldiers that would be settling down for the night. You, therefore, since you know all this beforehand, be on guard. We don't like to have to do that, do we? We like to be able to think that all things will remain as they are. And yet we have to know there's an enemy. We have to be aware there's an enemy, and we also have to know how to recognize the enemy, because here's the significance of it, and Peter tells us, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness. Steadfastness, it's its own unique word here. It's not found other places in the text, but in your own steadfastness, you find this idea of somebody who is firmly planted and established and settled. And he says, beware, set a guard that you don't fall. My wife and I love to go hiking, and as the weather warms up, we're beginning to think about that now, you know, hike down to Westmoreland Park or somewhere. But you know, when that hurricane came through and shut down the park, trees were knocked down. The winds came along, knocked those trees over. I've been always amazed around this lake neck of the woods to find trees with either shallow roots or certainly blown over. They're easily to be knocked over, and even though they might seem to be so steadfast, there are times when these trees that are so big seem to get easily blown over with just a mere wind. And yet you get to know the ground too a little bit. The ground around here has something of a clay hard pan, you know, and you can plant a tree in that topsoil, and the roots just don't go down deep because they hit this very hard layer. And unless the tree's got a taproot or something that knows its way through that kind of soil, you're going to have a tree that will fall from its own steadfastness. It'll look fine while the weather's good. It'll look okay when nothing's bumping into it, and it'll survive for a while. But it's always a heartbreak when you see those great big old trees that come down and the whole root ball comes up. And you know the hole that gets dug out underneath? When I was a little boy, I used to love those holes. You could hide in those and pretend like you're in a foxhole. You know, all the things that you do with the mind's imagination. But you remember these big knotty roots coming up out of the back of one of those big stumps of a tree that fell over? And you see in those roots that's grabbing onto rocks and it's grabbing onto dirt. And you see these things begin to fall off and start to fill in the hole a bit, but it's still hanging on to what it had a hold of for all those years to be able to provide for that tree. But it's not a pretty picture, is it? Steadfastness, that tree was steadfast, but that tree didn't have the roots it needed to be able to stand against the storm that came. So the storm arrived, the tree went over, and great was the fall of it. Down it comes. And again, and there's no life. It's done. Its life career is over. And I think Peter is picking up that concept as he gives us this terminology. Beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away by the error of the wicked. You know, you listen to the wicked, you don't recognize the error, you've missed the picture of what truth is all about, and so down you go. There's a fascinating little poem that was put together by one of the hymn writers. And I want you to listen to this. This is the subject of truth. Horatius Bonar wrote these words, and he has the title of this real simple two-stanza poem. He calls it Be True. And this is where what Peter's talking about is the truth. Growing in grace, growing in the knowledge of Christ. This is all about truth. Listen closely to these words. They're beautiful because it talks about our lives, our individual lives. Thou must be true thyself. Didn't Peter say that? You, therefore. Thou must be true thyself. If thou the truth wouldst teach. If you want to be strong, you don't want to fall. Put a guard up so that you don't fall. Thou must be true thyself if thou the truth wouldst teach. Thy soul must overflow if thou another's soul wouldst reach. A lot of us will keep truth inside. We don't put it out right away. And I think sometimes the reason why is we haven't filled ourselves up to the point where there's an overflowing of that truth. When you've been fed in devotions, when you've been fed in the Word, there's going to be a filling up of the heart that you can't keep quiet. It will bubble out. And that's why I think Horatius Bonar was writing, thou must be true thyself if thou the truth wouldst teach. If thou must, thy soul must overflow if thou another's soul wouldst reach. It needs the overflow of heart to give the lips full speech. Think truly, and thy thoughts shall the world's famine feed. Speak truly, and each word of thine shall be a fruitful seed. Live truly, and thy life shall be a great and noble deed. Isn't that something? What words? And that's really what I think Peter is telling us here. I found this poem and I thought, you know, grow in grace. Don't fall from your own steadfastness. It's a lesson for every one of us. We can think in terms of what, you know, Solomon said, that we got to beware lest we fall. You know, we do have to be very, very careful. Because the truth is what we're supposed to be building our lives upon. You need to be filled in the truth so that it overflows from your mouth, so that you have words to share with others, because it will naturally flow. And if you live truth, then your life is really a noble deed, because you'll be living it. It'll be something that's to be remarkable in a lost world. The darker the world gets, the more a life of truth stands out. So he says, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness. It's not necessarily a loss of salvation, but I do think it is that putting yourself as a castaway, someone who's put upon a shelf because no longer is there that same use and usefulness. And then he moves into this subject, being led away by the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grow in grace. grow in knowledge. And we can sit and soak and learn about the truth of the word. But we also need to be ones who serve. And so there's a part of knowledge, which is knowing our Lord, getting to know him. And there's a part in grace, which is the atmosphere. It's the soil in which we need to grow. And when you think in terms of this, wouldn't you think that Peter would have said, grow in knowledge and in grace? But he doesn't do that. He puts grace first, put knowledge second. And in the process of doing that, I think he's helping us understand that grace is that atmosphere in which you grow. Knowledge of Christ is as we apply that growth. And you can get this picture of this tree planted with this incorruptible seed, a seed which will not die. It's a tree that can be blown over if it doesn't go deep into the soil. So there's a need to grow in grace and grow in knowledge. Let me take you back to the book of Psalms. Psalm chapter 1. If you have a moment, and perhaps you did memorize this a while back when we memorized this together as a church, and I hope it brings back memories to you. But listen closely to these words. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Rivers of water, that's that conduit, it's the irrigation ditches where water would be passing. And so there was a consistent flow of what that tree needed. And when you think in terms of a tree, which is what it appears is part of this picture of what Peter is doing, there's a great reminder to us that a tree has a nature to grow, to go into the soil. A tree also breathes, doesn't it? What's it breathe? CO2, the thing that we give off, so we breathe in the oxygen it gives off. That's poison to the tree. But the CO2 is great to the tree. The tree loves CO2. So breathe as much as you can. Help these trees go green. You know, but isn't it interesting? You have an atmosphere around the tree that helps the tree grow. It's got sunlight that it needs to be able to make the tree grow. And it's got this soil. And in order to take advantage of the soil, the tree has got to grow its roots deeply. Here, don't just stay with the top, so I'll go deep. If you're going to be a good tree that lasts a long time, you have to go deep. And Christians, there are times when we have to understand that there's a need for us to grow our roots deeply. Now, a lot of us go through the Christian life, and we assume that we can be spoon-fed everything we need to have. You know, isn't that why we go to church? Let the professional guy tell us how to live the spiritual life, give us what we need, or Sunday school lessons, get the quarterly so that you can read the quarterly and then grow. The daily bread, get that because it's been digested for you, and there you go. You know, this is what you need. Christians, if we had said that to Christians 200 years ago, what would they say? Are you kidding me? Is that what your Christian life has become? That is not what Peter's talking about here. He's saying, I want you to be that mighty oak. I don't want you to fall. But in order to be that mighty oak, you need to grow. Grow in grace. You plant your roots deeply. Grow them deeply. Work through the hard pan of the clay. Work your way down so those roots get a hold of the big rocks. Break those rocks up to give you the nutrition. But go down into that soil and go deep. Go into the grace of God. Know what the grace of God is. And not only that, you're supposed to be living in the grace of his sunlight. In the grace of the sunlight of God that comes down and feeds those leaves that you have popped out to catch that sunlight. In the water that comes down from heaven that goes down and feeds the roots. And in the air of the atmosphere of grace. Everything you're doing, Christian, no matter how hard your life is, no matter what the circumstances are, your job is to grow your roots deep in the things of God. And to breathe in the atmosphere that he puts around you. He is involved in giving you what you need to grow those roots deep and grow that tall tree and not to fall over when the terrible times come and the struggles come. It's a beautiful picture, a challenging picture. But what is it? What's growing in grace? What is this atmosphere? We've shared with you in the past that the word grace has a real simple meaning that you can apply all through the scripture when you see the word. You know, we talk about saying grace, or we can talk about somebody being gracious. We can live with grace. We get those ideas of being a graceful person. And what is gracefulness? You get the idea of somebody who does things well. You get the picture of something that is maybe almost a little too easy or taken care of or coddled. But that's not really what the word means. Grace is the idea that God looks at you as his child. He has chosen you. And therefore, in the process of his relationship to you, he bears himself toward you. In other words, all of his behavior, all of the, when you approach him, that's why the book of Hebrews talks about coming to the throne of grace. Come before the throne of grace. That means that God carries himself toward you as his precious child with nothing less than his full favor. God bears himself toward you with favor. So yeah, life can be tough. But God's role in your life is to give you the soil, the atmosphere, the sunlight of his favor. We're not always a perfect tree like we ought to be. We're not always digging our roots down deeply like we must. It takes work. It takes work to break through the hard pan sometimes, to find the nutrition that's needed. But you've got to do so in the atmosphere and in the soil that God's given to you because God's bearing himself towards you with favor. You start going through the scriptures and you start thinking about this word grace. And I think what confuses us is we kind of try to put it all together into one big picture and don't always do too well. Remember, we tried to work with this with faith a little bit. Faith has three aspects in the scripture. There's the idea of the body of faith. The body of faith is the idea of what God has given to us. It's the doctrine that he's given. And so there's this, who is Christ? What has he done? So we have this body of faith, the faith. There's also believing faith, which is how you're saved. You trust Christ, all of this doctrine, all of this theology about who he is. You trust him in what he has revealed about himself. And so believing faith says, I accept that. I believe that. So that's faith, body of faith, believing faith, and then there's behaviors of faith. The behavior of faith is living a life of faith. And so you take the doctrine, you know what that doctrine has done in your life, you believe it, and so therefore you behave upon it. You live that truth. I think grace is somewhat similar. You have the doctrine of grace, God bearing himself toward you in favor. Then you're supposed to be growing in grace, which means, okay, I believe that. I believe that grace. I believe that God's bearing himself toward me with favor. I believe these things that are so difficult and not always so easy are things that are descriptive of the fact that God is bearing himself toward me with favor. And so then you begin to live behaving grace as I begin to live like God is bearing himself toward me with favor, which is the way Peter is encouraging us to think. God says, I carry myself toward you with favor as my precious favored child. You're mine. I love you. I'm giving you all you need to grow to a mighty oak with deep roots, nourished and given the sunlight and given the atmosphere to breathe in and breathe out. No matter what you might see around you, what enemies are out there, you have what you need. I'm bearing myself toward you with favor. And then we say, okay, Lord, I accept that. This week, Monday, I accept that. What's Monday going to look like? I don't know. But you're guaranteed of this, that God will bear himself toward you with favor and say, okay, Lord, I trust you. I believe that. And so all of a sudden, when you understand that God is bearing himself toward you with favor, no matter how you're feeling at the moment, no matter what is coming your way, you know because you're growing your roots deep and because you're in that atmosphere and that love that you're not going to fall. You're not going down because you're aware of what's around. You know what God is doing. Grow in grace. And as you grow in grace, then you're able to apply that truth in your life day by day. Living grace, living graciously, living with gratefulness, living with a heart that's loving God for what he's accomplishing in your life. That is what I think, in a nutshell, Peter's talking about. We can find other texts of Scripture that are fascinating for us. And let me take a moment. This is worthwhile showing you. Let me take you to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We went through the book of John together, and I know we were here in this passage, reviewed it a little bit. It was worth taking the point of what the verse is saying, but I think it's one of those verses that's hard to understand because it's just the way it's put, and yet it's designed for us to think about it, to meditate. John chapter 1, verse 15. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.' And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace." The source of the soil, the source of the atmosphere, the source of the sunlight, the source of the water that the tree needs to grow is Christ. Of his fullness. What kind of fullness? Divine fullness. God is all powerful. He's all sufficient. We saw that in 2 Peter 3. He's got all we need. He's got all the nutrition you need to grow. He's got all the plan for you to do so. He's got the resources. And his intent is for you to take advantage of those resources. And John's words are, we have all received of that grace. Grace for grace. Meaning, grace exchanged for grace, exchanged for grace, exchanged for grace, exchanged for grace. So you can't say, okay, the Lord's given me grace on Sunday, but I don't know about Monday. Those are bad days. Tuesday's okay, but Wednesday, that's the middle of the week, that's a rough day. And I have that test. I have that challenge. I have that report. I have whatever's going to go. I hate that day. I jokingly say that my two worst Sundays of the year are when we change the clock. Why can't they just leave it alone? But you know what? God's got grace today too. And so yesterday's grace is exchanged for today's grace, is exchanged for tomorrow's grace, so that we might not fall. Grow in grace. Grow up in Jesus Christ. Schofield's notes touch upon the subject of grace. So if you have a Schofield Bible, you ought to take the time and go back and visit chapter 1 of John, because this is where he gives his probably best explanation of grace. And I'll read just the first paragraph of it. "Grace is the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men, not by works of righteousness which we have done. It is therefore constantly set in contrast to law, under which God demands righteousness from man, as under grace he gives righteousness to man. Law is connected with Moses and works, grace with Christ and faith. Law blesses the good. Grace saves the bad. Law demands that blessings be earned. Grace is a free gift." I love that statement. You may say, well, wait a minute. I don't know, growing those roots deep, what will it provide? Will I be good enough? Now you're going back to the law. That's not grace. Grace is the thing that rescues the bad. Grace is what takes you and enables you to grow those roots deep. It's grace that allows you to grow tall in the things of God. It's grace that accomplishes these things for his name's sake. And so that last phrase, "law demands that blessings be earned, but grace is a free gift." You can get up tomorrow and say, "I don't know if I deserve the Lord's goodness." But the doctrine of grace says you're going to receive it. The belief says, okay, I'll take that. And the obedience of the behavior is I will live based upon that presupposition. I can trust my God. So this is what Peter is saying. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is taking the time to learn of him. That is the soil you need to develop in your roots in. That is the atmosphere as well. Grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are so many passages we could turn to, but our time is quickly coming to an end. Let me give you just a couple of passages to encourage you or enable you as you think through this subject of grace. First, I guess we should go back to 2 Peter just to see what's there. And let us see Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. As you're turning there, I want to remind you that in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, there's a passage where he talks about the idea of being filling your speech with grace, seasoned with salt. Living graciously in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 16, we're encouraged to be able to find grace and encourage grace, edify, build up each other in grace. It's all part of that group service that believers have together. When you look at chapter 4 of the book of Hebrews, you find the similar words that are given to us with what we're told with regard to the work of God. Look at verse 11. Let us therefore be diligent to enter the rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience, like the disobedience of the Old Testament saints who did not follow through. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul, of spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. A rich Bible study is just look at the word grace in Scripture. Now that you have the concept, grace as a doctrine, grace as a belief, and then, well, body, belief, and then behavior. Look at where the verses fall. Some of the verses are that doctrine, the doctrine of grace. Other verses are belief. This is one that's kind of belief plus behavior, put side by side. Trust the Lord is the throne of grace. And then you're living that life and trust the Lord that you'll receive grace. Therefore, then you behave according to that concept. So build yourself up in what the subject of grace is all about. Ephesians chapter 2, 8, 9, and 10. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. That's the body of grace upon which you believe. And so then you behave, for we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So I want to encourage you that this is not that great big of a mystery. Instead, it's this simple statement that Peter wants to say with the last words that he's penning before he loses his life. The last words of Scripture. He's saying, grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But beware, lest you fall. We need to grow to be mighty oaks in the Lord. Are you seeking to accomplish that in his sight? Are you seeking to walk with the Lord and depend on him daily? Are you seeking to put yourself at his disposal? That's what we're called to do. 2 Peter chapter 3, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And here's his last words, and with this we'll close. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Our English doesn't quite pick up the big picture. Here's what the big picture is. To him be the glory both now. That's what we all know. This is the now of growing grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Grow today, grow tomorrow, grow the next day. Keep growing in that grace. Live in the atmosphere of his grace. Grow your roots deep in the soil of his grace. Live understanding the grace of God and the knowledge of Jesus Christ now. And then he uses, our English text translates it forever. It's actually in the Greek language, the day eternal. It's, I want you to live in grace today. I want you to grow your roots down deep today, now. I want you to get to know your Lord. As you live graciously in him, you get to know him. You understand what he's about. You're trusting him. He's tested in the tests of time, and he's always found adequate and sufficient. Exchanging grace for grace, know him now. But guess what? Know him also forevermore. The day eternal. You know, we get the idea of some things taking forever to get here, a certain day we look forward to, and then that day's like all the rest. Today, we knew that we were going to change the clock. And so we changed the clock, but you know, today's still another day. There's going to be breakfast, lunch, dinner. There's going to be morning service, evening service. There's going to be a day, And sooner or later, you're going to come to the end of it and shut the day down and wait for the next one. That's not what eternity is like. It'll be an eternal day, the day eternal, the day that dawns and stays that way. It never shuts down. It's a day of growth that will go on forever. There will be no night there. There's not going to be a tomorrow. Well, if I can test God and try Him today and He's found adequate, will He be tomorrow? The eternal day means He always is. And God includes us in that eternity. Glory to the Lord, both now, while we're going through the trials of life, and into the day, eternal, that never ends. That's your job. Bring glory to your Lord. That is your call. That is who we are. When God's given you grace, when He's given you life, we live today for His glory. And we'll live tomorrow exchanging grace for grace for His glory. And Lord willing, the next day, as the Lord gives us breath and life. And then there will be this day, this marvelous, incredible day. The songs we were singing, talking about heaven. There is going to be that day that where the day star rises, and it will be the eternal day. And the lights never have to come on, because the eternal day is always bright and sunny and shining. And you will grow, and you're going to grow in the love of the Lord. So Peter says, yeah, we're a little bit shoddy here and there, not always as guaranteed as we are. We might fall if we don't obey. But he says, there's a day when your roots are going to continue to grow deep and forever, and it will never end, and you'll be able to glorify your God. Start today and look forward to the fact that that's for the rest of your lives, eternal. What a blessing this book has been. I trust you'll take time sometime this week to read through 2 Peter once again. Maybe go back to 1 Peter and go into 2 Peter. Pick up those little lessons. One of the great habits is to simply take a book, something like 2 Peter, 3 chapters, read them through every day for a month. It might sound like a lot, but it's not. And see what starts to distill. Grow your roots deep. Get into the atmosphere of grace. Put those leaves out there to get the sunlight of God's love. Because that's what you and I live in as a Christian. We live in the atmosphere of God's grace. Don't fall. Trust Him. The body, the belief, and the behavior of somebody who knows the grace of God. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for the Word of God. I pray that You will challenge our hearts and direct us to focus upon You and You alone. I pray that as we think about growth and as we desire growth from You and You desire it in our lives, that we'll place ourselves at Your disposal, that we will wait upon You. May we ask ourselves the question, what am I doing right now so that I might grow spiritually? What spiritual things, exercises, am I seeking to apply today and tomorrow, exchanging grace for grace so that You might be sufficient in our lives, that we might grow and not fall? Father, teach us to beware. Teach us to love You. Teach us to glorify You, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.